Selwyn Manning, what would you like to mention on the panel today?
Well, it's a bit of a leap, really, certainly away from the dreams. The OECD had issued a report this morning, and it's urging the New Zealand government to increase its aid contributions to the Pacific region. And just a quote here, it stated, in terms of the amount of aid provided, New Zealand lags behind other donors in the OECD Development Assistance Committee, which is a group of OECD nations, basically. So New Zealand is quite a long way behind other countries in the OECD. Apparently, we deliver aid to the point of 0.27% of our gross national income compared to an OECD average of 0.39, which is actually quite a lot. Now, the amounts went up in 2014, to give the government credit on that, but it's still those figures there that I'm saying, and the disparities between our partners in the OECD show that we're not pulling our weight in our region. And it's actually been a concern to the OECD in actually framing their whole position on evaluating New Zealand at this juncture as neglecting our responsibilities to the Pacific. Jim, in my view, to get a grip of where we are on these things, we can do comparisons. And it's basically, if you look at the Longy government, we remembered the yes. brand New Zealand for nudging New Zealand toward being an independent Pacific Island state, and obviously the anti-nuclear legislation. The Bulger government aligned us in our trade prospects to Asia. You saw the Clark government maintaining a relative independence with respect to the invasion of Iraq while warming relations or setting the bed so that New Zealand's relations with the United States were going to be warmer. And then the Key government is known for its embrace of the superpower security intelligence and also multilateral trade frameworks like the TPPA, etc. And I think what it is showing, if I successfully can debate those kind of things and people accept that, is that this particular position where New Zealand is we're tracking away from the very region that we live in, and the capacity building opportunities with our closest friends and partners in the Pacific are being neglected.
Did we used to do a lot better than 0.27%?
We used to do significantly different. Now, where the differences are, the New Zealand government no doubt would say, oh, but where there's a disaster in our patch, New Zealand is right there. Yeah. And that is something that's being acknowledged in this report. But it's other areas of aid. Remember when there was a change of government in 2008, we saw this trade for aid type ethos that came out of the new national-led government. And it seems like even the bodies like the OECD are picking up on that particular fact, even though it's changed slightly, that particular idea, since the Foreign Minister McCulley launched that publicly. But there's still there's a marked difference in the amount of commitment that is expected by other OECD countries.
And apart from considerations of charity, your argument is that you neglect your own backyard at your peril.
Well, you do, and we also perhaps it's fair to say that we do dip into the Pacific for all sorts of things relating to labour, etc., skill sets.
Rugby.
But and our trade with our partners there is significant too. But it's the capacity building and bringing those countries up to an expected level and taking a regional approach to it.
Selwyn Manning, thank you. The more relaxed you are, says someone, the more you will remember your dreams. That's Walter.
I'm pretty uptight, so that
makes
sense.
Yeah, we must all be very uptight. And there are lots of dreams coming in, and I won't regale you with them, but someone says, I dreamed I went on a pub crawl with Prince Philip. What is the meaning of that?
Prince Philip. Prince Harry, that would mean you're awesome, but Prince Philip, I don't know. Maybe you're a bit racist. No offence.
What's on your... You're drawing a bit of a long bow there.
Prince Philip, pretty racist. I don't think that's a long bow.
I just thought the person must have enjoyed gin or something. You know?
Yeah.
Yes, there are other explanations. What's on your mind?
Well, my mind is obviously the fact that Madonna is coming to New Zealand, which, I don't know, a while ago would have had me excited. I'm not so sure now. I was in Paris once when Madonna was going to be in Paris, and I was like, oh my God, I'm totally going. And then it was $500, and I was like, I'm totally not going to Madonna for $500. And I did actually look up here. There's been some varying things of what they think it might charge here, anything from one person said $100, but I'd be very surprised if you can get a ticket for that. I would imagine it starts at about $200 and goes up to about $1,300 or $1,500 for a ticket. But the thing that got me, regardless of what you think about her new music, which is the thing, I don't really love the new sort of style of Madonna, but I was born in 1974, so I'm an 80s child through and through, and all of 80s and 90s Madonna, you know, she was just this, I really loved Madonna. But the thing that's been getting me is that a lot of people on Facebook have been putting, oh, she should just age gracefully. Oh, she's so old, it's gross. Ooh, she's got like leather. Ooh, I don't want to see a 50-year-old shaking her booty, and all this sort of stuff that's really bothering me from an ageism point of view.
Yeah, I've heard that opinion expressed.
Yeah, because it's like when Mick Jagger comes and waves his hips around and hangs his tongue out, and nobody's like, oh, he should be aging gracefully. But people, because she's a woman, treat her differently in that sense. And yes, she is. She's always been a provocateur, and that's what she's always going to be. And she was lauded for it in the past, and just because she's gotten to a certain age, she's not allowed to behave like that. And I just think that's terrible, and everyone should stop judging her based on her age and start judging her based on her music, which hasn't really been that great. So that's what I think.
A complicated argument from Penny.
Yes, a feminist argument. I mean, she's got such great songs. I mean, I would, to be in a sing-along of Madonna songs, I mean, I'm going to see Robbie Williams, and I love Robbie Williams. He's highly entertaining. His songs are actually maybe not that marvellous, but he's a very entertaining chap. And I imagine that Madonna puts on a quite an entertaining show as well. But yeah, I'm just not sure about the money.
Well, in fact, I saw the Herald speculating it could be $500, but VIP packages have been announced for the Australian leg. $2,000. $2,000 to sit in the front row and, you know, clutch a glass of wine during the pre-soiree and look awkwardly around the room at people you don't know. And a tour gift, which is probably, I don't know, a T-shirt.
$2,000. See, nothing, I don't think anything. Like, when I was actually in New York...
Some people called it a mosh pit, don't they? $2,000 for the mosh pit.
Madonna won't have a mosh pit, No. When I was in New York, I went to see the Book of Mormon, which was... No, I didn't go to New York because it was ridiculously priced. Talking off the street would have been $500. To see the Book of Mormon. I ended up going in London for a lot less, and it was awesome. But I just think nothing is worth that much money. In this day and age, you know, like, so we just look at, I've lost the capacity to speak. My show is $25, and that is very cheap. $500 is crazy, and I just don't think that anything is worth that much money.
So you go to your show 80 times?
Yeah.
Instead of seeing Madonna?
And I highly recommend that approach. We'll bring 80 friends, so I don't have to do it 80 times.
Funny.
But stop picking on her because of her age. She's only 56, for God's sake, too.
She's just a girl.
Yes, she's, yeah. What is she? 15 years older than me.
No.
Yes.
Can't be right.